Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord, that we can come together, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that we sense your presence in this place today. Lord, thank you that we know that you are here with us because you promised it. And we, Lord, acknowledge, Lord, your presence and open our heart to your word, that you may quicken it to us and we may be able, Lord, to appropriate and receive all the good things that you have provided for us. Thank you for your power. Thank you for your anointing. Thank you for the freedom that we can experience today in you. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Praise the Lord. You know, John 10:10, it's a scripture everybody knows. But we have to really remember it because it tells us really what's going on around us all the time. The thieves come to steal and kill and destroy, but Jesus came to give us life and give it more abundantly. And sometimes people get caught up into funny ideas and religious ideas and just believe things that are not in agreement with that. You know, many people blame God for their circumstances that they don't work out well. Okay? And, you know, they end up having the wrong attitude. And because of that, you know, they, instead of cooperating with God, who want to get them out of the problem, you know, they stay there because they can't receive. Okay? Now, you know, we need to understand it. We need to have a perception, the ability to see and understand what's going on. Okay? Not be caught up by men's ideas and religious ideas about these things. Okay? We have to know what to do. And the only way for us to do that is to be born again. Jesus said it very clearly. Unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom. You cannot get in. You cannot perceive things. You cannot have the right perspective. But, you know, there are lots of people that are born again, and yet they have confusing ideas because of all the teachings that are going on these days. And that keeps them under bondage. Okay. One of the things that we have to realize is that even if we are born again, even, you know, that doesn't mean that we don't have problems. That we are not going through things happening because just we are in this world that is all really messed up. And we are exposed to messed up people. And we are not perfect ourselves. So we have to realize that we sometimes just miss it. Okay? And we have to know where the problem's coming from. And generally, you know, I would say, it's never from God. God loves us unconditionally. I mean, you can be sinning and God loves you because he sent Jesus for sinners. But if you are born again, you shouldn't be a sinner, you should be a saint. And you have to understand that and you have to see and connect with the Holy Spirit to manifest that new reality that is in you. Okay. But one of the things we have to understand, okay, is that we are in a battle. And the battle is between God and the enemy, or the enemy and God, because he is not the one who started the thing. Okay. And he doesn't like anything that God has done. And we had to realize that. And we had to understand that we are in it because we are part of his creation, God's creation. When we realize that, you know, and we realize we are in a battle, we have to be understanding one basic thing, that before you go to war, you have to go to boot camps. You have to prepare. If you don't know how to fight, you cannot fight effectively. And lots of people think that, don't put the energy, the time, the focus in the preparation component. See, it's the preparation. When you are in trouble, it's already too late to start. You have to start before. That's when you have the time to deal with things properly, and you can prepare yourself so that you know what to do when things you are in trouble. Are you following me? Okay, so we have to understand that. And we have to understand that although we are equipped, when we are born again, our spirit is okay, it's fixed. All things are of God, says in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Okay, that's what it says. So, all the things are of God, we have been cleaned up, the spirit is all right. But our soul is not. And that is the place in which we have, the place we have to work on. That's what we had to do. And that means we had to prepare our soul for these things. Work within ourselves so that we are ready when things happen, so that we know what to do and we know how to connect with God and help and cooperate with Him to bring that abundant life that we talked about in John 10:10, so that it's manifested in us. And so we have the victory that God wants us to have. God is not a loser. He always wins if we give Him a chance and we are connecting with Him and are aligning ourselves with Him, then His victory becomes our victory. That's why Jesus conquered 2,000 years ago for us. He conquered sin and He even conquered death. Praise the Lord. And with that conquered everything that comes between the two. Life, healing, forgiveness, all the things. But we have to understand how we appropriate the things that God has provided and has made us for us possible to have. And we have to do that. We have to renew our mind so that we can align our thinking with God's thoughts and ideas. God's word. When we do that, then things are going to be going all right. Okay. This is what Jesus said. That's what is repeated over and over in the Old Testament and the New Testament. It just doesn't, that part doesn't change. It's the relationship that we have with God has changed. Okay. But it's always based on one thing, is the Word. And this is where the renewal of the mind takes place. As we come in contact with the word of God, and we allow the word to change the way we think. See, the problem is the way we think. And sometimes we think that we think right, but we think wrong. Because we don't have an idea, we don't understand what the word says concerning those things that we are dealing with. And so we end up being trapped in our own thoughts and ideas. And those are the things that we had to change and modify. I've been talking about some of these things already for some time, different ways. But this is the thing we had to understand. That this is why Jesus said, in John 8, 31 and 32, if you dwell in my word and my word dwell in you, you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. Okay? It's the word that gives us the truth. When we know the truth, when we have the truth, what is the right idea? Thinking the way God thinks. Then we are going to be becoming free. The bondages, the problems, the things we can overcome. Or we can deal with them the right way. They are not going to affect us anymore. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, the Word of God works all the time if we understand it and we apply properly to us. That means if our thinking lines up with it. So we, you see, it's not, problem is never with God. You know, and it's in a way, not even with the devil, because we let the devil push us around. When we understand what we had to do, then we know how to position ourselves and to have victory anyway. We can see that happening, you know, in the Bible, for example, with Paul and with the other disciples. That is not that they didn't have problems, but they knew how to deal with them, and they have victory in their life. They were doing what God wanted them to do. They were successful in the things we were doing. They were spreading the truth and were setting people free. Praise the Lord. You know, understanding how to use God's weapons in this battle is essential. It's important. Is what is given to give us the victory. Because if we have the wrong understanding, the wrong, we are going to be stuck and we are not going to be able, we end up being frustrated. You know, if you are doing what God wants, aligned up with God operating in your life, you are not going to be frustrated no matter what your circumstances are. We can see that very clearly in the Bible, in many places. But I want to just take one, for example. Okay. The Epistle of Philippians. God was working in Paul, and Paul was completely in God's will. But he was in jail in Rome. Okay. And not necessarily, the best environment or circumstances. Yet, the Epistle of Philippians is the most joyful epistle that he ever wrote. Why? Because he wasn't affected by what was going on. He was a conqueror. He was successful. He was full of God's power and love anyway. You know, and he was rejoicing that he could share Jesus before the emperor place. That was the thing. You see, when is the way we deal with the values we have in our life that makes all the difference. When we have the right values and we are connected with God, we is it manifested in our attitude and in our position with respect to the situation we are in all the time. Doesn't matter what the physical circumstances are. Praise the Lord. You know, I'm not following my notes, so that's fine. The idea is this, okay, that he was empowered, was motivated by his own ideas. He was in connection with God, and God was directing him and empowering him to do the things that he was doing. And when you are aware of that, we are going to see that there are so many scriptures showing that, then you are not going to be depressed. You are not going to be down. You are not going to be confused, no matter what's going on around you and with you. Because you know that God is working inside you and you are experiencing God in your life. You see, for a born-again believer, we need to experience God as real and effective in our life, and not just talk about theology or talk about things, but we have to know the power of God and the scriptures. That's what keeps us in the right way. That's what enables us to overcome. And God wants overcomers, not losers. Praise the Lord. You know, if you are born again, you should say all the time, I am an overcomer. Let's say it together. If you are born again, you should say it and make it so that it come out of your mouth. You had to hear it. I am an overcomer. And you say it convincingly. Overcomers are going to have the crown of life, you know. So, but it's not that you are going to have it when you are up there. You're going to experience that down here. Hallelujah. Now is the place. If we don't have it here, I question if you ever have it up there. Jesus didn't, you know, Jesus wasn't a loser. No matter what was going on, he was a winner. And people didn't understand what was going on at the end. But even then, that was the greatest victory. See, because you cannot look at things in the physical. The physical manifestation, the physical appearance, sometimes is completely deceiving. The moment in which he was going through the greatest glory, it was the darkest moment in his life. That's where he really had the greatest victory. And he could go through that. I'm not going to get into all that now. We probably can do it on Easter. All right. So, but he said to us, talking directly to believers, okay, most assuredly, in John 14:12, most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than this he will do, because I go to my Father. Greater works of Jesus. Can you imagine? Praise the Lord. And so continue there, following verse 13, says, you know, and whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. So when you do those things that Jesus did, you give glory to the Father. You know, glorified, you know, the word glorified, this is something that we have to understand. You know, the same word often is used for glorified, it's used also for magnified. You know, this comes from the same Greek, often is the translation, different translation. Or there are other words that are used too, okay? The idea is that when you glorify, that means, you know, you give values to something. When if you don't value God, you cannot glorify God. When you glorify God, you actually worship. When you worship God in the right way, then you are glorifying God, because you are not doing something religious. You are just magnifying Him, making Him big, because He is big. But, you know, he's going to be as big to us as we perceive. Okay. And he wants, we do the right thing when we glorify him. But we sometimes don't glorify him. We make him small. Because we glorify our circumstances. We glorify the problem we have. And we go around, some people go around talking about their problems all the time. What they're doing is glorifying them instead of glorifying. So what you do, what you focus, you give power to. What you concentrate, you know, what you look at all the time becomes big, and the things you don't look become small and far away. So the idea is, if you talk all the time about your problem, what happens? You magnify your problem and you diminish God. That's what the children of Israel did when they were in the desert. They were there complaining all the time. They've been delivered. They've been, you know, supernatural work was taking place. And they were there complaining that, oh, we don't have water. When instead, you know, they always had water. Oh, we have manna. Oh, it's the same taste all the time. Give us some other things. You know, that we can laugh and think, you know, it's funny, but we do that all the time. Let's be honest. Okay. A little thing that goes wrong, we just make up a big story. We have to learn to magnify God. Because if we magnify God, your problems are going to disappear. They're going to become smaller to start with, but it's going to actually enable you to overcome them. And it's going to change your situation effortlessly. Because you are not going to have to do it. You don't have to fight. You know, He is fighting for you. As you see Him big. Don't limit God like the children of Israel did. And they died in the desert. See, they didn't know how to fight. They didn't know how to do. So, you know, how do you do that? Well, you have to be in the Word. He sent His Word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Okay, essentially, you had to be the Word, seeing what the Word says, align yourself with the God, and, you know, start to see God working and doing the things that He said He would do. You know, taking, for example, the scripture. You know, that's what meditation is all about. Okay. How do you meditate on the scriptures? How do you meditate? How do you do that? Well, let's see in some cases. Okay. Take, for example, the one we just finished reading. Assuredly, I say to you that whoever believes in me, the works that I do, I shall do, and greater work than this. I mean, you know, said that you would do it. So you believe that you would do it. If you meditate on that, you know, you start thinking that actually you are doing it. God has given us the ability to see things even when you don't see them in the physical. So you start seeing you going around and healing the blind and raising the dead and doing other things like that. Can you do that? Absolutely. He has given you the permission right there. See, but as you see, if you understand the way our heart works, I mean, not the one that pumps, the one, you know, in our soul. Okay, our heart doesn't know our body doesn't even know the difference between when you imagine something and when it's going to really happening physically. If you remember some situation in which you were confronted, you had a real difficult time, or, you know, you were in a fight or whatever, and you really think about it, meditate on it, your heart is going to beat, your system is going to respond just like that time. What happens is actually your body reinforces those feelings and those memories because you go through them again. Some people have a fight sometime with somebody that they care, and, you know, it stays with them for all their life because each time they think about it, they go through the whole thing. Instead of letting it go. Instead of forgiving and forgetting. Are you with me? Well, you can, instead of being meditating on that junk, start meditating on you raising the dead. You know, if you don't practice raising the dead before, you're never going to be able to do it. If you don't practice going out and healing the sick, or, you know, doing things like that, Sometimes it may happen, you know, by mistake. But that's not the way it should happen. It should happen normally and regularly. You know, I remember the first time that I had instantaneous healing was I was praying for somebody who was maybe 78, something like that. And a full gospel businessman met him. And this guy came and had a problem with his heart, angina, and he was in agony. Wasn't born again. It was the father of one of our members. So I was the vice president there. I prayed for him. Put my hand, just lifted up. And the guy, boom, fell on the floor. I helped him, you know, give him some there, some time. I pulled him up. He looked at me. He was really mad. What did you do to me? You hypnotized me. I said, no, I prayed for you. And you were fell under the power of the Spirit. And then he just changed the face and said he had no pain whatsoever. All the pain was gone instantaneously. Well, didn't take me much to get him saved right there on the spot. And he was there to all the meetings every month. It was regularly like, you know. Well, but, you know, after that, I got things like that, but once in a while. It wasn't regular. It was just, people say, oh, as the Spirit will. If the Spirit will, all the time there is a need. All the time there is a need. I don't see Jesus says, okay, is the will of the Spirit for me to heal this person? We don't see that in the Bible. Okay? So, but we had to get to the place where we are prepared. And so, years after, the Lord was speaking to me. Said, you know, I was talking to the Lord, and the Lord said, you know, why does it happen more regularly? Why does it happen all the time? It's your fault. You don't believe it. It's going to happen all the time. I mean, you can, evidently. You can trigger it. But you have to believe that you can trigger it. So the Lord was ministering to me in that area. And from that moment on, things start to happen in much different. Now it happens pretty regularly. The idea is, you see, that I changed the way I thought. Because the Lord, okay, showed me or explained to me a truth that before I didn't grasp. And the truth was simply the fact that you already have it. You had that ability. Jesus said it. He promised that. And so that if we believe, we are going to get the same results. Are you listening what I'm saying? Okay, but that applies to anything. I mean, that's just one example. You know, but we could have other type of, take a different situation. Okay, take, for example, you know, another scripture that may not be so exciting as the first one. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 10 and following, it says, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for there is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed. So we are persecuted. You should go around saying, I'm blessed. I thought he's saying here. Okay, blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you. Praise the Lord. Falsely for my sake. And then it doesn't stop there. It says, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. So they persecuted the prophets who were before you. So, how are you going to meditate on the scripture? I mean, if you don't meditate on the scripture properly, what you're going to do is to avoid, you know, each time you somebody persecutes you or talk or criticizes you or whatever, you're going not to like it, and you're going to avoid that like the plague. But here it says, blessed are you. Hello? See, that attitude is definitely wrong. Hello? See, what we should do, it says, you know, be exceedingly glad. I mean, if you're going to be exceedingly glad, you're going to look for those situations. So you can start meditating that way and changing the way you think about it so that you can have a different attitude and approach concerning those things, and you are ready when the things come. It's not that you go around seeking to be persecuted, but persecution will come. And so you are ready for it, and when it comes, instead of licking your wounds and feeling sorry for yourself, you are going to say, hallelujah! The same way as Paul did. See, that's why he could do it. Because he was prepared. Are you following what I'm saying? See, our time that we spend with the Lord is very important as we go to the Word and allow the Word that sometimes surprises us, you know, to be able to become a reality and produce the results that it promises. That's the way we know the truth, we embrace the truth. And instead of feeling sorry that people, nobody likes me, we are going to go around and say, well, you know, I'm pleasing God. The truth is being spread. I can, you know, share the truth with others without fear. Lots of believers, they're really scared about, you know, being criticized. You know, nobody's going to kill you here at the moment today, you know, yet. Okay, and sometime may happen in the future, but not now. Just practice now so that you are ready. Praise the Lord. Are you following what I'm trying to say to you? Okay, so the fact is that, you know, to be able to do, the Word has to be constantly within us, ministering to us, so that we are not there, you know, there is a problem and we don't know what to do, and we have to go and look at the concordance. See, when we know the scriptures, we know, you know, when there are situations that we are in that we have to deal with, the Holy Spirit brings us to our remembrance, the things that we need to remember. You know, so we are equipped in the Spirit, but our soul has to be prepared so that we are going to be able to handle the situation that we are in by responding to them in the right way. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm going to be difficult to even cover half of what I'm prepared today. Okay. The thing is, you know, we can be always connected with God, no matter what's going on in us and around us. This has to be our way of functioning. Okay. There are many scriptures showing that. Many scriptures, okay, that are pointing us to this. Okay. Your connection with God has to be permanent. Okay, and what's going to result is that our attitude and our, you know, the way we feel is going to be different. Romans chapter 14, verse 17 says, the kingdom of God is not eating or drinking. That means it's not something physical. Okay. But righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. See, when we are connected with God, we are in the kingdom, we are operating in the kingdom already. The kingdom is not physical. We are in it already. Okay? And what it is? It's righteousness. I mean, you know, our righteousness means that we are lined up with God. When we are lined up with God, we are in the kingdom. Righteousness means nothing else than we are in right standing with him. That means in the relations is there. There is nothing in between. Okay. And then what you're going to have is peace, joy, and in the Holy Spirit. So Holy Spirit is going to bring us those feelings that you are not going to go around depressed. We are not going to go around frustrated. We are not going to be around feeling sorry for ourselves. We have peace. The word peace there, you know, the equivalent of in Hebrew is shalom, which involves welfare, well-being, being, you know, prosperous, being needing nothing, so that you are relaxed and not frantic. Okay. The Lord is your shepherd. And you don't want anything because you already got everything you need. Hallelujah. Okay. So this is the type of attitude and experience and that we should experience ourselves. And there is so many scriptures saying the same thing. You know, Isaiah 26, verse 3, you know, is the same thing. Old Testament, this is our New Testament. You know, you will keep in perfect peace. Was mine is stayed on you because he trusts in you. So you see there, again, there is the peace and the fact that, you know, you are focused on him instead of being focused on your circumstances, on your problems, on the world, on what the news says, on whatever anybody else does. Those things become small and God becomes big inside you. And so you respond accordingly. Hallelujah. But the thing is, you know, because he trusts in you. And that's the key. He's trusting in God that put us in that place of contact. And that place of contact keep the trust being reinforced all the time. Okay. Let's go for the following verses. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord God is everlasting strength. See, that's what our strength comes, our spiritual victory, our spiritual strength, the ability to stand against any situation. Praise the Lord. So, and this is really what makes, you know, all the difference in our life. In John 15, 7, says, if you abide in me, and this is the same concept, that continuous relationship, that continuous contact between us and God through us, and that means through us and the Word working in us. You know, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. Abide, the word there I shared before is meno, which actually means to stay, to dwell, to hold fast to what the position you are. Okay, you are not wavering, you are abiding. Okay, you are not wavering because of your circumstances or your feeling. Your feeling go up and down. Who cares? And you are going to end up lining in the map. Okay, that is producing defeat. That is being ruled by your flesh. Okay. Praise the Lord. The following verse. By this, my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, for you will be my disciple. So you see, the really people that follow Jesus, that are his, you know, learning from him, are going to have these things here, you know, by the word abiding in them, okay? And they're going to, their desire are going to be just his desire because it's the word ruling your soul. So your desire, you're going to want only with things that God wants, and when you want things that God wants, you get exactly what you want because he's there to back himself, his, you know, back up your desire because it's lined up with his desire. Amen? Hallelujah. See, typical example is Abraham. Okay. I mean, let's see the way he applied this. I mean, Abraham took him many years before he see the further manifestation of God's promises. Okay. But God instructed him. and instructed him how to be in contact with him all the time. He wasn't perfect, and he had to learn. That's why it took such a long time. Okay. But God gave us instruction, and actually one of the things it taught to him was to meditate. Just look at the sand. All the, you know, you're going to have as many children as all the grain of sand that you can see. He was in the desert all the time, and lots of sand around. At night you don't see the sand, but say, you know, look at the sky. All the stars that are there, you're going to be as many children as there. So each time he would look in the sand and it was day, or look up and it was night, he was reminded. God was there. He could meditate on the word day and night. It wasn't a complicated thing. Are you following me? And that image became to the point where, you know, he ended up being able to, when he was 100 years old, what is impossible to do. All things are possible to them that believe. We are not limited by what is possible physically. Miracles or healing or other things can take place that are physically impossible otherwise. That are not natural, are supernatural. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. So we can see from him. We can learn. We are called the children of Abraham. We have walked by faith, or we should walk by faith as he did. You know, in Romans chapter 4, you know, there are lots of scripture. Yeah, I don't know if, you know, I'm going to read quickly some of them. So verse 18 says, "For contrary to hope, he in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations. According to what is written, so shall his descendant be." So, you know, contrary to hope. That means, you know, hope is expectation for something to happen. And this is, was impossible physically, naturally, anyway. So contrary to hope, he hoped anyway. And the way he hoped and why he had the expectation is because he has been meditating on what God said. See, you want to walk by faith? You have to start meditating on what God said about you, and you see that happen so that you start building up your faith. It's not just hearing the word. The hearing the word is the beginning. But you can hear the word one moment, and the next moment you are thinking about your sickness. And so you are wavering between the two of them, and you really, your faith is not stable. You need to stabilize your faith. You have to be not moved, holding fast to what you believe. And you are not going to be holding fast because you are going to make the decision of do it, and you are so strong. No, the strength comes by meditating on God's promises, on the word. And when they, you have meditated enough, that's the only way you think. You don't think any other way, because the other way, you have rejected it, and each time it comes up, you turn it off, and you just embrace what the word of God says. And pretty soon, all your doubts are choked, and the faith in you has boiled up and grown to the point that you are ready to win. And God can work in it. Praise the Lord. Are you following what I'm saying? I mean, this is, you know, you are not fighting the battle. What you're doing is being in the Word and being connected with God. People that try to fight the enemy, they lose. Because he doesn't get tired. You do. Okay? But we have victory because our strength is not physical, because we don't need to fight physically, because we don't fight in the flesh. Our weapons are mighty and powerful and are not physical, not carnal. They're spiritual. And we have to learn to fight spiritually to overcome the enemy easily. Because it's not us fighting, he's fighting for us. We can do all things in Christ who strengthen us. Hallelujah. And you start, instead of saying, yes, but, no, you don't put any but there. You say, yes, sir. And I'm believing it because I'm standing here. And I'm not moved. Praise the Lord. Okay. Says, you know, in verse, there are some things I wanted to, you know. Okay, let me follow the following verse here. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. Okay. So, I mean, psychologists say, oh, you know, you are in denial. Psychologists don't understand anything about spiritual things because they are not spiritual. So don't go by their reasoning and their ideas and their model. Our model is given by the Word. And the Word says that we can do it. And we had to, and Abraham was our example. He did not consider. We are not going to consider the things. We are going to consider only what God said. Praise the Lord. And so he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. Hallelujah. How was he strengthened in faith? Well, he started believing God and started giving glory, started magnifying. You know, the word there could be magnified, could be exalted, could be worshiping God. That means he was there praising God from before he got it, and he was there praising God all the time because it's coming. And he is faithful and he's keeping his promises. You know, God is faithful to his promises. So the promise of God, you know, is where his faithfulness is based. That means that if he said it, that's it. He's not there questioning, well, you know, maybe. No, you line up with the requirements and you have it. Praise the Lord. And so you got to the place by giving glory to God. Are you stuck someplace in which you don't know, you know, you have been waiting to break through? Start glorifying God. Start praising God. Start thanking God. Start magnifying God. The same thing. Thank you, Lord. You are so powerful. And you did all these things to me before. And you did all these things in the Bible. And you did all these things to the other people. And there are other people receiving. I'm going to receive too. And you are my mighty, powerful, great. And you are my Lord. And I trust in you. And I put all my trust in you. And lean not on my own understanding or my own reasoning or any reasoning of anybody else that is not you. Praise, you know, you change things in the world when you start doing that. But you had to verbalize that to yourself. You need that. You need to do that. Okay? Sometimes it's difficult to get people to praise God, even on Sunday morning church. I mean, you know, we should start blowing up. Praising God. I mean, that is the way we glorify him. That's how his presence comes. That's how, you see, he dwells in the praises of his people. I mean, if there are needs, the church should be just praising the Lord instead of begging God over the things he already done. Things are just upside down the way they should be. People think, you know, they had to go to God and take, you know, heaven down. Forget it. What they had to do is to start praising God. Heaven is going to come down by itself. Praise the Lord. I mean, just to want an example, Paul and Silas in Philippians. Okay. Philippi, what happened? They were, you know, went there. As soon as they got there, they got in trouble, beaten, thrown in prison, bleeding there, and he's there. The worst place in the, you know, the depth of the prison, in chains, hurting. 12 o'clock at night, singing their thing out, everything that they got, you know, with all their heart. Waking up all the other people in the jail, you know, I'm sure that they were really glad to hear them. No, they were probably swearing at them. Hello? When they wanted to sleep, and these two strange guy there, you know, that just got in prison, making all this racket, they wouldn't let them sleep. I'm sure they're going to be really very well accepted. Oh, it's so nice to have some music. No way. They were just singing, you know, their heart out, praising the Lord. And, you know, if you were in the physical, there was nothing to praise. The day following day, they could have been executed. But they didn't do anything. They just praised the Lord. What happened? God moved supernaturally, sent earthquakes. The whole prison was broken up. Their chains was broken. They even saved the jailer and his family. I mean, that's the way to win, isn't it? Praise the Lord. I mean, we should learn, you see, start meditating on something like that instead. You know, see yourself in your problem and start, you know, meditating about you starting to praise and God moving, and just start believing that and start getting into that place until you're going to really get it. Instead of saying, you know, oh, I'm going to ask God, and working hard and praying hard and everything else. Some people pray into themselves into the hole. Because instead of praying in faith, they pray in their funny thinking that it doesn't line up with the word. God has done certain things, and we have to accept what he has done. Okay. So, giving glory to God. That's a great way to connect with God. That's a way of being in his presence. Okay, and because we are in his presence, we are going to be full of peace. You know, Paul and Silas weren't there nervous or frantic going to God and say, God, please move. Maybe tomorrow they execute me. No, they were rejoicing in the presence of God down in the dungeon of Philippi. Can you see that? Okay, start experiencing that. Start being with them right there. All the Bible is full of stuff that we can go and see and, you know, make it our experience. Just see it through, going through the whole thing so that we actually experience what's going on. That one makes the difference. That's what produces the result. See, this is why, you know, Abraham, after having doing all that, you know, he was fully persuaded or fully convinced that what he promised was also able to perform. And so you get to that place where you know that you know that you know you got it. Not because you are there begging God. It's because, you know, you trust him above all things, with all your heart, and lean not in your own understanding, your own reasoning, everybody else's reasoning, or anybody that will say. Are you following me? Please. You know, to know this and not do it is really stupid. Okay? We should smarten up and actually do certain things that we see in the scripture so that we can change our way of thinking. That we, you know, instead of looking at ourselves and say, oh, you know, I never get anywhere, forget it. Forget about yourself and concentrate on him. He is the one. He is the Savior. You can save yourself. You cannot save yourself following God's doctrine of men. You save yourself simply by believing the word and implementing it in your life, by meditating on it. And that's what it says in Psalm 1. You know, meditate on it day and night. And you shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. And, you know, his leaf also shall not wither. And everything you do shall prosper. You want to prosper? Well, you know, that's a prosperity message. Shut up. I mean, have you read the Bible? It talks about that all the time. We shall prosper. And we shouldn't be afraid to say it. Let's say it together. We shall prosper through God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Maybe people say it's time to close. Sometimes it's tough to close in time. Anyway, praise God. We're going to pray together. If you want me to pray for you later on, you know, in any of this area, I'll do that. So for now, let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word that lives in our life and is mighty and powerful so that we can understand, so that we can apply it, so that we can be transformed by the renewal of the mind and empowered to overcome any situation we may be in. We thank you for what you have done for us. We thank you for sending Jesus. We thank you for giving the word. We thank you for the Holy Spirit that quickens us too. We thank you that we can receive today as we believe and stand on your word. And it's the truth. And the truth has set us free. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord.